Dear Dhamma friends, we are going to start the today's Dhamma talk, basically the translation in English. This is the third in the series. To start the talk, you may give the consent with three times, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු වරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු වරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ චිත්තවතානුකෝ ආවසෝ භික්ඛුනෝ දස්සනං සුවිසුද්ධං හෝති තී ය ධම්ම ෆ්‍රෙන්ඩ්ස් සෝෆා වී හැව් ගිවන් ටූ ටොක්ස් basically on the same topic, namely the Kinsuka Sutta, that is the translation is the riddle tree. Before coming into the meaning of this riddle tree, still we are on the early part of the sutta, and if I have to give a brief summary about up to the today's talk, during the contemporary time of the Buddha, there was a monk. He had a doubt or he has a question as to what extent a monk's vision said to be or worth calling well purified. So he went to another monk and asked to what extent my friend is a monk's vision said to be well purified. He mentioned that when and where contact takes place, usually in a human being, there are six such institutes or faculties. When and where this contact takes place, if you manage to see right from the beginning up to the end, then that vision worth call well purified. And the first monk who raised the question was not happy, unsatisfied. He went to another person, asked the same question, and that particular person mentioned when and where these five clingings going to happen, when and where it happens. If you can be, you can keep the mindfulness right from the beginning up to the end, that is also a way to purify one's vision. Still he was not happy. And then he go to the third person, ask the same question, and the third person give his own version. He says, as far as you can manage to see the beginning and the end, or we can say right from the beginning through the middle to the end of the five, four elements, as and when it arises, that is the way to purify the mind, purify the vision. So that is, as far as the singular talks are concerned, day before we took. And if I am to expand a little bit on this arising phase and the passing away phase of the materiality is concerned, that very materiality included in the first question, first answer itself. When and where the contact going to take place, namely maybe in your eye, visual contact, or ear, or the nose, or the tongue, the body. In the eye contacts, the visual object is consist of these so-called four elements, the visual thing you see. And whenever sound waves are concerned, it is made out of these four elements. And whenever the smell, that is also made out of four elements. And any taste, or any sap, any juice, which enough to stimulate your taste buds, are nothing but something made out of four elements. And it's very obvious as far as it is the tactile sensations. When and where you are receiving any kind of a contact through your sensitivity of your body, it is due to the heat, cold, stiffness, tension, cohesion, fluidity, the lightness, heaviness, that is what you call it as a contact. So therefore these four elements, even though not specifically mentioned, including the first answer itself. As the second answer is concerned, that is the five clingings, the very first one is the materiality. The material, sensuous pleasure, sensuous the objects, they are also nothing but the four elements. But the question if monks was not happy, he was not in a position to grasp it, that now we have come to the purely on the four elements. So, when and where they arises, one has to be aware. When and where ceases to exist, one has to be aware. So, when someone to give this an give this as an answer, they should have something special, something unexpressed so far. That is to say, when and where these four elements, material to arise, we only can see the middle. We never, our senses, or our attention, or our ambition, never focus to the beginning and the middle. Therefore, our observation is partial. But somehow the other faculties make it the complete picture. Even if you are going to see the middle part of it, and ultimately it appear like early part and the end part appear like complete, the lacking part come out of your opinions, come out of your fabrications, come out of your liking and disliking. You interpret according to your personality, so therefore it is happening behind the screen. So as far as you don't know, to each and every seeing, each and every hearing, smelling, touching, tasting, you have your own contribution, your own fabrication, your own coloring, your own makeup, and then only that becomes something worth experiencing. I will put it the other way. When and where something happens which is devoid of your coloring, your manipulation, your fabrication, never go to memory. Never become important to you. So these things never come into the important list. They are usual, casual visitors. Whatever you fabricated, whatever you adjusted, whatever you make up, add something, they become VIP. They go to the memory and they used to come back again and again as a remembrance. And they are very striking, very colorful. So that is how our mental process is going. So therefore, this particular monk, very wisely he says, so if you are to understand, if you are to trace back, if you are to be sharp, if you are to be aware or vigilant, how much you are manipulating, how much you are fabricating, how much you are adjusting, each and every phenomena, basically now we are talking about materiality, it is amazing, so much so now, leave aside what the Buddha mentioned, now science has proved what you see that you are. Not that you are observing, you are looking and you are contact, what is available, that is what we thought in physics at the beginning. But now you know, but you see what you like to see, what you wish to see, what is your intentions are. Therefore, each and every seeing, hearing, smelling is color. As far as you don't know it, innocently or in a crafty way, ultimately you claim that it was there. I was an innocent observer. Therefore, that particular thing caused me desire. That particular thing caused me anger. That particular thing caused me boredom and monotony. So therefore, if you are, if I am to punish, I must punish what is external. So therefore, all the disciplinarians are, throughout their life, they are adjusting outside. They said, we have to adjust the outside world. It must be very smooth. It must be work to rule. It must be pedantic. And so much people came out with the constitutions. And ultimately what happened is, each and every constitution, each and every adjustment, each and every idea is twisting or disturbing the nature. You don't know. It appear it is abnormal, it appear it is not according to the wish because of your twisted observation. So therefore, if you wish to see things as they are, not the middle part, you have to see the beginning of it and the end of it. So that is what I try to explain in single talk also. In our general physics and the chemistry classes, we are being taught with the elementaries. This is hydrogen, this is helium, and we have the periodic cycle, and we have to, by heart, each and every one in the science education. And they taught us, they are fixed, they are concrete, they have their own characteristic, specific gravity, atomic weight, speed, everything. Thinking that molecule is something existing. But when they keep on analyzing, ultimately they came to know this each and every molecule has some atom which is more preliminary and primordial than the molecule. And then they come together and convene that atom is the building block. And atom is indestructible. It is everlasting. That's a God particle. But when that existed for a long time, and later they found within the atom there's a structure. Structure is different from hydrogen to helium. And there are also positive particles, negative particles, neutral particles, positrons, quarks, all the kind of thing. And when and where one particular electron or proton go and hit another atom, that also evolved and going to give more, yet another particles, when that happens, they come to know not the atom, but subatomic particles are more preliminary. Subatomic particles are worth called the building block. But when you go down further and further, their stability, the molecule is much stabilized. It's worth calling eternal, everlasting, eternal. But when you go to the subatomic particles, they are very volatile. Their concrete nature is questionable. Ultimately, they found each and every subatomic particle have only two characters. Their speed and their specific gravity. So they wanted to clarify, understand, the speed of each and every particle and the weight of the each and every particle. So when we are understanding the particular electron existing in the hydrogen is exactly equal to the helium. That particular electron, the electron do not know it is repressing the hydrogen or helium. So earlier there was a drastic concrete eccentric, its own characteristics of the hydrogen and helium. You go to the deeper and deeper into the tiny particles, stability questionable, and they will find a common character. Electrons are electrons, whether it is available in this or that. And more particles found similarity. And they found each and every particle is having a weight specific, speed specific. And they went to all electron microscope and try to find out atomic weight and the speed. When you observe or focusing your machine to see the speed, they found at that moment you can't see the weight. Whenever you're focusing the machine to see the weight, Therefore, necessarily or exclusively, you can't see the speed. So the scientist who adjusting the machine will, before he adjusts to see the weight, therefore he sees the weight. If he's adjusting the machine to see the speed, he sees the speed. Ultimately, they found the choice of the scientist is the matter more than the intrinsic characteristic of the thing. And they found they are exclusively different. You can't say both in the same thing. So, came so much of questions. Ultimately, they found that each and every particle is nothing but some energy quantums. There is no matter as such. They have kind of a agglomeration and conglomeration of energies. And when you come up to that shape, you call electron, then come the proton, then come the quarks, or positron, all the time. It is like in a stream. Here and there, you see the whirlpools. So, whirlpool is kind of abnormal movement of the same water. So, when the whirlpool happens, you can recognize this whirlpool is better, bigger than this one. This is in the north side, this is in the left side, this is faster. But once it is dissolved into water, no more you can recognize the whirlpool. You can't see big and small. You can see left and the right. Exactly that they ultimately reduce this each and every the energy quantums are in a field. Whenever something abnormal, please remember, whenever something abnormal, it represents electron or proton. When we are calm and quiet, they are just energies. So whatever the matter is something abnormal. It's a friction. It is always changing. So when the matter becomes calm and quiet, it becomes just energies. So then how to mark energy and the matter? Energy, no specific gravity. Energy, no speed. Energy, no locality. It is non-local. Whenever it collapses into the matter, specific gravity, speed, the place, all the labels you can put it there. So, when and where the energy and matter interchange, physics dissolved. All people chasing behind the physics as a science, they came in front of a wall. They know what is now. They had to come up to the energy type part of it, and they keep on practicing. When practicing, they now what they are telling is the energy waves. It has been labeled as the Schrodinger, the founder of the scientist. He says Schrodinger energy waves collapse into matter when and where consciousness interact. If there is no interaction of the consciousness, energy is energy. So it become energy become matter due to your consciousness. If you have no any conscious attention to any part, they just became as energy, live as energy. So it has no any identity. It is there. You can't claim it's me. You can't claim it's yours. You can't claim it's big. You can't claim it's small. They are energies. So this is appear to be very scientific, very deep. But there's a joke in the Zen Buddhism. In order to show this, it says, suppose there is a thick forest. By walking, you can't go into it even by 7 days. So you have to go. Under such circumstances, there are no one in the forest. It is made out of full of big sandalwood trees. If there is a collapsing and falling down of the sandalwood tree in a such a thick forest, will there be any sound? As far as no one to listen, will there be any sound? So if you are in an early physics or the Newtonian physics, this is whether you are listening or not, sound is there. As Einstein told, sound happened because of the listener. If there is no listener, no sounds. Then, who's to decide? So therefore, you have to understand each and every matter that become matter because of your consciousness. So therefore, early part, if you do not see, you comes to believe the matters exists. I see it. But now it has come reduced up to the point where what you see is that you are. You are the one make as you like, this is what I like to see. So therefore your interpretation, your outlook indicates who you are, what is your liking and disliking, what is your personality, what is your opinion, what is your view. So therefore, if the same phenomena, two people are to look at it, never the same, the interpretation. So it says, the Buddha, it says, according to the examples, Buddha says, whenever the, in the desert or in a dry area, the mirage going to happen due to the hot air. From a far distance, it appears like a water body with frills and waves. So deers and other beasts, when they look at from the far distance at the mirage, they think body of water. They chase running things in that existing place. Now I am, it's full of heat, full of sunlight, no water. Over there, water to keep on running. But ultimately, they take exhaust and die. Because never you can go to the mirage. Even if you go there, there are only heated air. And yet another very beautiful thing. So much you have to chase behind the mirage. The distance between the mirage and the animal never reduces. More and more you will run, mirage also running in the same speed. For that animal, it is water. If you are well instructed, human, you can see the foolishness of the animal. But if you are not instructed, you also will consider it as a water body. So that is exactly what happened from morning to the evening. Whatever you see, it is that it represents who you are, where is your interest, up to what you are looking into. So that is what the world. So therefore, without telling all the kind of thing, that particular monk told, when and where materiality is happening, manifests, your senses covering the early part of your fabrication, early part of your manipulation, early part of your involvement, your senses only can see already arisen, matured, fabricated materiality. So you take it as a grant, it is there, I saw it. So how to go to the beginning of the materiality. So today in the single question and answer session, so much of bewilderment. Now they do not know what the materiality is. How to look into the early part of it. Because this appears to be very philosophical, very scientific and very completely outside the world. But simply, your breath is materiality. See the beginning of the breath. Beginning of the in-breath. End of the in-breath. And there you can see, when you are to focus the mindfulness to the very beginning of the in-breath, it completely mystic. You can increase the efficiency, you can increase the sensitivity, the mindfulness, but never up to the 100%. You feel the in-breath start something out of blue, and after that you can trace it. It becomes very gross. Ultimately, when it ceases to exist, to a certain extent you can, yes. But after a while, it drops, loses the grip. And when it's losing the grip for early part, when you are observing it, you can see how delicate, how the mindfulness efficiency, how the sensitivity increases. And when that it happens, you can see it is so transient at the beginning. It is so transient at the end. But in the middle, you have heat, stiffness, cold, all the characteristics attributable only to the middle. Early part you can't. no label can hook, no label can fix into the early part of the in-breath, end of the in-breath. Therefore, you feel when you are observing the in-breath, you feel nauseating. You feel monotonous. You feel bored. You feel, I can't go into that. Not that you can't, you do not wish to go there. Because there you can't establish your ego. You can't establish your conceit. You can't have liking and disliking and grabbing this at the early part. So therefore, no tanha, no mana, no ditti. So therefore, wherever the point where is no tanha, no mana, no ditti, that means the desire, the conceit and the ego, is not far away. At the beginning of each and every breath, the Nibbana is there. Wherever there is no mana, ditti and tanha, that means no defilements, no mara, nothing bad. So it is everything starting from the very pure state, when and where it is going to get into the shape, label, object, then and there you start liking and disliking. You make fabrication as to how to develop your conceit out of that. And how to get the establishment of your very ego with the help of this reason in breath. There is an outbreath. So therefore, without telling that much of thing, the Buddha says, the beginner start with the in-breath and outbreath with the middle, never mind. It's good, well and good. Keep the breath as much as possible, even the middle part, familiarize it, be friendly with it, be immediate with it, be diligent with it, vigilant with it, mindful of it. When and where time permits, try to see the beginning. When and where time permits, try to see the very end. Not only in the breath, I am taking breath as an example. Whatever the phenomena when that happens, you come to know the beginning and the end is very volatile. Very, very subtle. Very, very evolving or uncertain. Changing. So our senses can't comprehend it. Because our senses are fixed with permanent notion. When and where it goes to the beginning, then it is impermanent. So therefore, early meditators or young beginners often miss the both the ends. But when and we are familiarizing, ultimately you can see your inquisitive nature, penetrating nature, go and further and further. Ultimately, whenever you are to see the beginning and the end of the in-breath, beginning and the end of the out-breath, what happens is all the breath, the total breath, total breathing process become calm and subtle. So there you not only see the beginning of the in-breath and out-breath, beginning of the end of the breath and out-breath, you see the total breathing going to ceases to exist. When that happens also, uninstructed yogis become nauseative. They now complain, now you have asked me to be the keep the track with the breath, now no more breath, what to do? The Buddha says, whenever you are to see the cessation or calming down or subtlety or tapering off, wearing and tearing of the breath, you can understand more and more the breath becomes subtle, less and less defilements in your mind. And less and less tension in your mind. Less and less frustration in your mind. You feel kind of aloneness. You feel kind of a solitude. You feel kind of a peace. But if you are well instructed, if you have the correct view, if you have the radical kind of reflection, only you can see this as a healthy development. But more than 90% of the yogis become panic. They become losing their track. So therefore they have to have so much of faith. They have to have so much of trial and error experience. They must have so much of preparedness. They have to have so much of sharing with other people, meditators, then only one can go to the beginning or end of it So when that happens, you can see your view is so purified, so clear, no defilement can prevail under such circumstances. It is not necessary for you to come to place like this and sit cross-legged and do all the kind of thing. If you know it, if you have practiced it, while you are sitting in your office or while you are living in any other place, you can check the beginning and the end, or whenever you come in, specifically when you can see when you go to the sleep, then you can see how the breathing is calming down. And if you focus it, one thing I will guarantee, you will not fall into sleep. All night you can keep the track. But mind is fully relaxed, body is fully relaxed, but you can see the breath so calm, your mindfulness is so bright. You can't say breaking rest, but you can keep the vigilance. So even in a disturbed world, or even in the jazz music, or even in the break dance, when it is happening, if you can maintain your observation with that is calm down breath, or whatever the calming process, you can see the world is dancing, but you can have your own peace. But even then, that particular monk was not happy about the answer. Even if you can see the beginning and the middle and the end of the phenomena, physical phenomena, it's a definitely a valid answer, but this particular monk still not happy. Then he goes to the fourth person. And he says, don't worry about the 5-6 contact points. It is too much academic. Don't worry about the 5 clinging places. Don't worry about the 4 elements. Whatever arising and passing away, if you can see, you are through. It may be physical or mental. So he was not happy. Still he was not happy. So ultimately go to the Buddha and complain. Tell him, Bhantaya, you have the genuine question. I still feel it. It's valid. How one can purify one's view? In what way one's vision can be purified? When I ask one monk, he says this. I ask other monk, he says that. Other monk, everything he gave the narration. Then the Buddha, taking the riddle tree as an example, he says, the Buddha is giving an example or how to call it, yet another viewpoint to his same question without telling he they are good, correct or wrong, without telling the question is good, correct or wrong. He says, suppose there is a man, he wished to have a riddle tree, he wished to see a riddle tree, he wished to recognize a riddle tree, but he do not know. So he goes to a person, he knows a riddle tree. And he's asking, dear friend, I wish to know, understand and define the riddle tree. I know you know it. How is it? Then he says, it is it's a dark one. It's like a burnt out pig. So that with that information, he go and search. No, he is not happy. He can't find it. Then he come to another person and ask, dear friend, I wish to have a riddle tree. How is it? It is red in color. It's like a flesh. Whole tree is red in color. And you go there, you can see from the further distance, look at it. That is a little tree. You go and look at the no red color, nothing. Then he come back and says, when you go there, there are pods maybe, and bark also very dry, that the tree which is having that pod, the harvest is not its own, that is a little tree. Yeah. He goes to the fourth person, he says, it's a full lush, full robust tree, heavy, shady, full of leaves, that is a little tree. But you go and see, no. Then the Buddha says, the first person would have seen the little tree in the winter, all the false leaves fallen, and only the tree, it appear like dark, but he is still incorrect. That you have gone not in the winter. So by the time you go there, you don't recognize it as a dark tree. Whenever it is about to flowering, the flower of the little tree is red color. And its outer sheet of the flower, red color. When it's full of flower, then tree appear red. So that is second person has seen it is just at the blooming. But when you go there, you have gone in another season, so it is not happy like red. So whenever the fruits mature, it have a lot of pods. So the third person has seen in that position. He has told you the correct guidance, but when you go there, it is not. The fourth person told you it is in the full summer, full flush, and the robust growth tree, under very shady like the another neem tree or something like that. So when you go there, it is not there, so you see. But that particular person told you also correct. But your genuine necessity also genuine. But you, no communication takes place. All the four times, you are dissatisfied. The Buddha appreciates in the sense your dissatisfaction is understanding. But this all the people guided you also true. But nothing communicated. This is the world. We are searching in the wrong place or wrong time. Therefore, whenever even you are hit with it, stumble upon that, you never recognize it. And then you come and blackguard the fellow, find fault with the fellow who told you but all the features that you have mentioned is not there. And there is one joke in the Muslim Arabic understanding, and I don't know whether you have read it, Mullah Nasruddin, in a way it's a joker. In a way, it's a philosopher. In a way, it's a sage helping king. So he was everyone's pet, everyone's good friend. One day in the dusk, he was searching under the light, street light, crawling and searching every blade of grass. One friend passing asked the Mullah, "Mullah, what are you searching about? Ah, you don't know, I lost my key." So the friend also came in order to help the Mullah, and both of them using 1 hour, 2 hours, and now it's already dark. There's nothing to find. So there's a friend is asking, "Mullah, what color?" "Ah, it is in black color." "Was it a bunch or it's a single key?" "It's a bunch." "Was there any tag?" "Yes, but it's a yellow color." And he's giving all the detail about the lost key. And when he's asking, other man asks at class, "Where did you lost it?" I lost in the room." "Huh? Why you are searching under this light?" "Because at the room, no light." We are searching the truth under the light. But the truth never under light. It is in the very dark corner. So when you are in the search of truth, if you are to meet up with the darkness, you think something wrong. Or in other sense, your first foremost thing the Buddha is trying to explain is truth of suffering. So when you are in the sitting, if there a pain happen, you think it is something wrong. You want to go and ask how to get rid of the pain. For what? To meditate. Why you are meditating? To understand suffering. So if you can see how it is whirlpool-like rotating, you never catch it. So therefore, the Buddha see all the three-dimensional bird's eye view. He says the genuine person searching. Other person genuinely helping. But no communication. It can go ever. But it not necessarily. Not necessarily. This is because not due to lack of faith, not due to lack of energy, not due to lack of any other quality. But with the talk, but the other person, though, you never communicate, you never digest it. You see only superficial thing. And you verily claim, "I listen, I got it, I practice accordingly, but I didn't get it." So this is the riddle. That's why it's called Kinshuka Sutta. And then the last Buddha give another example. I will give an example. Some people understand the facts with the example rather than the philosophy. He said there is a, how do you call, There's a king and he has a huge area under his jurisdiction, and there's in the far distance place, there's a town well protected with a parapet wall and the water ditch, and there are six doors from the six places to enter into the city. Unless otherwise these six doors you can't enter into. And in the each and every six doors, there's a very wise doorkeeper, gatekeeper. And he never allow any suspicious or malevolent people to in. Whenever someone is friendly to the king and benevolent and well-wishing the king, he let him in. And under such circumstances, one person coming with a very quick errand, and asking the gatekeeper, "Oh, dear friend, I wish to send this errand to the king, not the king, the mayor of this town. Please give me the quick answer, the path, the map." He says, "Go this way, and when you are going in the, toward the center of the town, you may meet a cross-sectional path, and the mayor is now, this time, is at this cross-section in the middle of the center, to the city. Yet another person comes from the other direction. He also wished to go into the city, also wished to see the mayor, and when he is asking, that particular gatekeeper, he says, when you go directly into the center, you feel two roads are crossing each other. I mean, all the roads are crossing each other at this cross-section. The mayor is there. So many people come, whatever coming, he gives the same. So when you go there, you meet, if you are going directly from the instruction, from the gate to the that cross the road, you meet the mayor. And now Buddha says, I gave you an example. This city is your body. The six entrances are your contact points. Eye is one transaction. Ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. And the gatekeeper is your mindfulness. So mindfulness will let you know that you have to go in. And don't take by roads. The direct road is going to the center of the town. But in the town, so much of beautiful thing on the half, on the way. And as well as dirty things also. And you have to cross, you have to bypass a lot of, you have to go do away with a lot of bypasses. Don't take any exits, go directly. And when you go there, you see the cross section where the roads are crossing. This is the four elements. And in the four elements, you find the consciousness. When you understand the consciousness, then it is very easy to take the situation under control, and the explanation of the path is to the Nibbana. And the way you are following it, if you are directly, and if your intention is directly to see the mirror, you must maintain the instructions. Starting from there, go to the middle. Otherwise, if you have a lot of bypasses are there, exits are there, if you are going to take a labyrinth, you will mislead. So therefore, wherever from, whatever the direction you come from, ultimately you are meeting at the four elements. So therefore, if you are to understand from morning to evening, what are you dealing with is nothing but the four elements. Whether you see four elements. Whether you hear four elements. Whether you smell, taste, touch, everything is related to the four elements. So therefore the four element is an international language. When you call it is as a seeing, a visual object. When you call it as a hearing, a sound. When you call it as a smell, smelling, and food, tasting, tactile sensation, then different languages. When you boil down to four elements, communication is very straightforward. But our mind never happy to understand elements. If we are to understand whatever the four elements you call my body, is very superior, it's very extraordinary, whatever beyond my body, they are trivial and nothing to worry. So therefore you consider your four elements as the most precious, most prestigious, most valuable, but you have to understand that very bloody thing is what going to give suffering for you. Whatever you have not hold as mine never give any suffering. So ultimately holding into so much into your so-called your body, you find liberation. So that is the riddle. So instead what you have to do is, whatever you take as my body, do the full light of mindfulness and observe it. And if you are sharp enough, you will understand this each and every element, nothing different from the what is you call external. External elements and internal elements, no difference. Only your recognition, only your label, only your assumption. This is me, this is not me. So when and where this me and not me boundary broken, you become nauseous. You become panic, you become anxiety, you start boredom, you start monotony. When and where you sit comfortably and focus the attention here, now I am sitting. If you really go inwardly, you will see hardly you can see me and not me. More and more your mind fall calm and collected, you find the boundary between more and me and not me disappears. You become like a cloud, you become like a rectified, evaporated, and like no boundaries. So when and where happen, you open eyes and see whether all the parts are intact. Otherwise, you lose your orientation. When and where you see the beginning of the in-breath and when and where you see the end of the out-breath or the end of the in-breath, there also you can't see any boundary. So our whole thinking based upon this boundary in with me and not me. And you, when you are in a deep sleep, you are not in the boundary. Soon you open your eyes, what are you going to do? You focus your me and not. You take the external signs and get your establishment of your body. And that is the first and foremost thing. So if you can be sharp in mindfulness and awaken mind, while soon the mind become awakened, if you can be mindful, you can open eyes mindfully. Then you can see awakened mind without boundary. Open-eyed mind with boundary. So this is the first and foremost we do is identity. Me and not me. Never mind, it is not a crime. But you have to understand your every suffering, every drop of suffering coming what you recognize as mine. So if you simply know that, you can understand this suffering is not caused by someone else. And verily you will confirm, you are doing all the kind of thing not to create suffering. But ultimately what happens is you end up with suffering. So if you take this suffering, you know, by recognizing this as my body, this is my children, this is my property, this is my religion, this is my country, you have no any malice. I mean, this is very innocent. But the Buddha says, whether you like it or not, by holding only, by grabbing only, by claiming only, you take your due share of suffering. So therefore, still you can use your body, still you can use your dear and near one, understanding they are, due to their cause and effect relationship. When the sun arises, flowers are blooming. Seasons are happening. You may have liking and disliking for the winter and the summer, but separate issue, but the winter and the summer has no caring about your liking and disliking. They are happening. Exactly the same, this is happening. So once you to understand every arising thing is passing away, you will understand simply, every arising is a suffering. Every passing away is a liberation. But our life is focused to the arising part. Looking at the passing away, we consider as a bad omen. It's not nice. So therefore, we are always happy to throw birthday parties. We never throw parties when someone ceases to exist. It's a bad thing to talk even to you. So this is the way it happens. So each and every arising thing is a friction. It's a miscalculation. So, due to your past karmic forces, due to the season, due to the food you have taken, and due to your mental activities, things are arising. You know how, it is not, you are not the culprit, but you have to observe it. And when and where it ceases to exist, and you are unshaken. If you can keep the attention to the cessation part, you can see more and more you go to the cessation, less and less tension, less and less frustration. And there you understand, if you can understand and appreciate it, so that the very liberation, the very solitude, the very freedom, the very contentment, the very peace of mind is not far. But it is not the matter that we are not acquainted with the freedom, acquainted with the solitude, acquainted with the present moment. We have the fear for that. That's called fear of unknown. Fear of new. Fear of liberation. It appears like losing my ego. It appears like losing my conceit. Losing my dear and near one. Thinking, this dear and near one is ever going to be with us. I am also going to live forever. Thinking that my conceit is always going to live with me and my conceit is always assuring my well-being. Thinking that my ego is everlasting and ego is always searching about my well-being. But if you really question it, nothing assured. They have their own agenda, so they have to understand the beginning of it. Middle is already we know. We can take it into account. And the end of it, when and where you see the beginning and the end of it, anything. Then you will understand how much of the tip of the iceberg and how much of the underwater. So tip of the iceberg is the middle. The beginning and the end of it is the what is happening under the iceberg. So therefore, in the Western terminology, it says unconscious is the under the water. But the conscious mind is the tip of the iceberg. You can't understand unconscious without the help of the conscious. That is why Buddha says, first understand the middle. With the help of the middle, go to the beginning, go to the end. That means you are going to the subsurface or submarine area of your mind. So when you go there, whenever you are to see into this, go into this unconscious, you feel it is mystic. You will miss, it is something never my parents taught us. Never you find in the books. Never our senses can gauge it. So therefore we found it is better to be with the area we know. And so we can claim and we can argue and we can develop conceit. But the Buddha says, as far as it is, you can gauge it, you can argue with, the truth is not that sphere. Truth is lying in middle or in the middle part, in order to understand the middle path, make use the tip of the iceberg. From there, work when and where possible to the beginning and the end. So when and where, first time for the Buddha, delivering his first sermon, and the first time in the introducing the Four Noble Truths, and it's 12 ways to understand the each and every truth, and assimilating the noble path, and claiming, I see the beginning, I see the middle, I see the end. Now I can say, I have my clear vision. My vision is clear. Chakku mudabhadi, jnanam mudabhadi, panyavudabhadi, vijyavudabhadi, aloko mudabhadi. And then only I am going to tell you, I am not challenging what you are seeing. I know, but only I am telling it is partial. Take that as a reference point, go to the middle and the end, and you also can be Buddha. But later in the Western psychology, in number of cases they say, simply thing is you don't wish to see the truth. You see your key, you search your key under a street lights. You have to understand the key lost in the room, no light. So therefore, with the whole friend and everything, you make societies and you make constitution and everything, the truth, we have to search it where? In under the street light. Well, easy. Searching is easy. Definitely, you know it is not the place, you have to find it, but never mind. You can advertise it, it's under such particular place, please come, we can do from morning to the evening, evening to the morning, searching. And if a wise person asks, where did you lost it? I said, don't question it. Definitely I lost it in my room. It's such a joke. It appears like a very profound, very deep. But you have to add it with examples and riddles and epithets. Then only you can understand. Otherwise, you find so much of reason to postpone. So much of reason to avoid it. Escape from it. For that only, the whole world in knowledge, prestige and everything come. But the Buddha says, there are no harm. Starting from that, if you know the way to see the beginning and the end, anything, you are bound to see. So therefore, even the particular discourse is going to end it, but there is no mentioning that particular monk was happy, even with the Buddha's answer. So this is why we can start learning from the morning to evening and starting from the life to the end, but still we may miss the bus. But that is nothing to look down. That is normal. So don't lose your interest. Keep on observing. One day the communication will take place with the help of all your mistakes, not with the grace of the Buddha, not simply due to your understanding of the theory, not due to simple of your effort, everything integrated. One day where everything will come in align with, when that happens, you understand. Till that, everything you do, you have to justify. Sometimes you can't justify why. If it is so such a complicated thing, how can I do it? How can I maintain my motivation? So Buddha says, keep the faith, practice it. And when you keep on doing, one day you can topple upon that. And it is not a completely accident thing, but due to your trial and error, slowly, slowly, slowly it is leaving. So therefore, even in the present or even in the time of the Buddha, truth is there. People searching the very truth also there. Some people are directly telling with the honest sharing, but the communication, the very understanding is completely new thing. So therefore, it is under no one's authority. No one can say my misunderstanding is due to others' mistake. No one can say my due understanding is due to other one. It is a cause and effect relationship, interdependent thing. So therefore, as a final remark, I can say we have investigated, we have achieved a lot. That is why we can keep on practicing. Otherwise, we have no foreseeable close result. Therefore, we have our way. We know how to justify our thing. So, therefore, have a positive understanding. In order to understand, there are no particular places when you become mature. There is no particular time when you become mature. There is no particular posture when you become mature. There is no particular teachers when you become mature. Even the flowing wind will be your teacher when you are ready. Even the burning fire will be your teacher when you are ready. Whenever the shaking happens, any contact happens, that will be a teacher when you are ready. So that is it. Therefore, no second person can help it. Therefore, have self-confidence. Same way, when you are practicing, when you are seasoning, when you are mastering it, slowly, slowly you will understand or go in center into the city and see the mayor exactly the way you can understand the culprit, your own consciousness, and without tracing that, you are bound to find fault with the outside or bound to fall, misunderstand what is really happening. So therefore, be encouraged, be enthusiastic, keep on the same way, don't try to be smart, don't try to accelerate it. This is the speed, but do it regularly. Ultimately, as the Zen saying says, wherever you may be, you are on the way back to home. So that is the last remark. Thank you very much for listening for the talk.